Grab your favorite caffeinated beverage and get cozy because you are listening to Mindful as a Mother with Paige Bruce and Lindsay Adams.
Do you remember those toys from when we were kids where you would fit the different shaped pegs into the different shaped holes?
Yeah.
That's a lot like parenting, except when you have a neurodivergent child, using traditional parenting techniques is like trying to put the round peg in the star hole.
That's exactly how I felt when I discovered that Sam was neurodivergent. I knew that traditional parenting techniques and even the approaches that I was taught in grad school, they didn't feel right in my soul to like supporting who he was as a human. And they also just weren't effective. And that's when I discovered the power of responsive parenting.
Exactly. So if you are like us and are interested in tailoring responsive parenting techniques to your neurodivergent world, check out our Parenting Your NeuroSpicy video series. You can find it in our Stand store at the link in the show notes.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for therapy or the therapeutic relationship. And the information given in this podcast is purely for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the advice of a professional.
Are you ready?
Let me just finish chewing this cheese.
You can do the intro.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back. It's snack time on podcast weekend. This is Paige, and I'm here with...
Lindsay!
And we are recording our next episode to discuss how you know when you've closed your stress cycle and how we can support our kids in understanding and closing their stress cycles.
Yes, very important. Very important. And most people don't realize how important it is and how much these implementing these small things can really improve your well-being and your grounded centeredness.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, Lindsay, for examples of when you know you've closed your stress cycle. And I know you've mentioned a couple so far in the first episodes. But the thing to really emphasize here, and I want to make sure it doesn't get lost, is that your body tells you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you listening. That's me. That's Lindsay. Our body will tell us. Because of the nature of the stress cycle, if we are able to tune in and create the awareness around it, we will feel a change in our body.
Mm-hmm.
Science. So there's going to be times when you don't want to exercise, but I'm going to share like a little anecdote from the book that talks about exercise. And so this, I don't remember her name. I'm going to say Janet.
I think it was Janet.
Oh, maybe that's why I thought of Janet. So she was regularly exercising, learned all this info in the book about closing your stress cycle and being able to manage your stress more effectively. And the more that she exercised, she found out the more easily she would get there.
Julie?
You know what? Actually, I think it was one of the authors of the book. Because she shares her own story, kind of like Lindsay's hive story, about how she had chronic stress. And that's what led to their research around the book, is that she got a chronic illness.
Yeah. The thing I like about this book is there's a lot of, they use experiences mm-hmm. to teach. And I feel like I resonate a little bit with each experience. Okay. But yeah, anyway, sorry. Back to you.
Yeah. So Emily was the PhD student. And so she was the one that was like in her graduate program and also trying to live and also trying to work. And she was so overwhelmed that she ended up getting really sick and they couldn't figure out why. And she went to the hospital and they could not figure out what was happening for her. And her sister is the one with the MD who like specializes in understanding how stress affects the body. And like gave her a book to read while she was in the hospital and was like, read this book. And so basically the book talked about how stress accumulates in your body. And because of the cortisol, it makes an impact. Like hormones that go through your body and the accumulation of those chemicals or hormones impact your physical well-being. It's not just something woo-woo or like this abstract concept. Like when you say emotions, a lot of people think we're just like, oh, talking about this abstract concept that we have to identify. But emotions are chemicals and hormones within the body.
Mm-hmm. It's literally science, guys. We're not being new agey.
Yeah, brain, chemical, although I am new agey, just wait.
Yeah, so am I.
So she talked about how she started exercising to close her stress cycle. And the more that she exercised, the easier that she would feel her stress cycle close. And it took her a long time to feel it. But she said that as she had let stress accumulate inside of her for days or weeks, one workout was no longer bringing her to the point where she could feel her stress cycle close.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would feel better at the end of the run, but not done, more or less. So if you have spent a long time, which you and I both have, accumulating stress or having an incomplete stress response cycle inside of your body, you might have this experience too. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to practice the strategies that we talked about last episode to complete your stress cycle, you might only feel some relief, but not the full relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why when you, if you ever followed, did you ever follow any like fitness blogs back in the day?
Yes.
Like people who like exercise and they would like talk about it, like their fitness routine and all
that. Yeah.
So a lot of times you, when you read people's stories about their journey, there will be a workout where they just start bawling.
Yeah.
And that is like closing of the stress cycle, or like feeling like, for me, it feels like a big sigh of relief. Like everything in my body just relaxes. Like it is very physical, and I wish I could even describe it, but it's, I go from feeling like my whole body is tense to feeling just like, oh.
Yeah. I kind of liken it to when we're forced to complete the stress cycle, like those big crying episodes, mm-hmm. when you, there is like, you don't have an option. You're just sobbing. Right. And then you're exhausted afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That like really, even though you're exhausted, you also have a sense of relief.
Well, yes. And that's how, when I first started closing stress cycles regularly after my hive situation, I was like, I'm more tired. And I probably was, because I wasn't like fully able to relax to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's because you feel a little tired, air quotes, compared to if you're used to being like jacked up on adrenaline and cortisol all the time.
Yes, exactly. I explained this to a client this week, actually, where they had spent so much time fighting. We were talking about like, I've always been able to push through and do it and be strong and do the thing. And now I'm just tired. I feel weak. Like I can't do it. And I was like, I'm wondering if you don't feel weak, like I can't do this, I'm not strong enough anymore, or if you finally moved into a place of your life where you're allowing yourself to heal and so you're tired.
The other thing I've noticed in this journey is the more regulated I become, the easier I sense when I am dysregulated.
Yeah.
So I went through a phase, and I feel like this is maybe part of like the healing phase as well, where I felt like every little stressor felt like such a big deal, and I was getting so activated. And I was like, why am I so activated by this? But I think it's that I didn't know what regulation was like before. So now I'm recognizing how much these things really impacted me. But if I was pretty much never leaving fight or flight before, which I think I was, once you're already in fight or flight, like a little thing isn't that big of a deal. And it's all I had ever known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're immediately set off by little things mm-hmm. constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so after I got back to work after Christmas break, back to work, back to prepping the podcast, back to Mindful as a Mother as it exists in the realm outside of the podcast, and starting my own group practice, I felt really, really stressed. And so I couldn't figure out what I was stressed with or why I was so stressed. I was like, I'm doing all the things, I'm getting enough sleep, like what's happening? And so I finally went to a yoga class, and this is part of like my own spirituality, but I went to a yoga class, and as we were finishing, it was like an hour of hot yoga. As we were, I like to be warm.
If you can hear water, I'm literally shaking my protein shake. I'm so sorry, but I'm hungry.
So I did this, and it was a challenging sequence. It was a challenging yoga sequence, and I tried not to judge myself through it. And then at the very end, I just like started crying.
Mm-hmm.
The very end, I just started crying. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So whatever it was that I was holding, like spiritually, okay, or energetically, yes, but also in my body, like that stress.
Well, that's why yoga's so good, because it, you stretch and move your body in ways that allow you to release the stress.
Yeah.
The and it chemicals.
Yeah, and it changed my body temperature,
yeah.
Right? Because it was hot yoga. and they change the temperature throughout it. So it starts as like a 70 and then it'll go up to like an 85 and then they drop it again towards the end of the workout. So that's an added piece. And then also just a level of spirituality. We didn't really talk about this in the last one, but positive social interactions can also include like your spiritual beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what kind, but just the belief in something bigger than yourself that you can trust and support, like, and will support you, mm-hmm. you know? So even like, I don't believe in necessarily a God or one God or whatever, but I do believe in something bigger than myself.
So this is why when you look at studies of people that they say that married people live longer, people in religions live longer, all of those things, it's not specifically that you need to be in a religion or that you need to be married. It's mm-hmm. that the positive social connection, the affection probably, and the belief of something outside of yourself, bigger meaning, yeah. is what
yeah, purpose.
Allows us to close those stress cycles and yes. have a longer, healthier life.
Yes. So all these things are kind of self-care-y too, just throwing that out there. But that was one way that I knew. And then I like to think about this one too, is when you've closed your stress cycle, you won't just close it like the one time. We have to do it regularly. Almost like I call it a diet, right? Like you feed yourself throughout the day. So also like let's incorporate activities that close our stress cycle throughout the day just mm-hmm. to help maintain our levels. Mm-hmm. And people that are experiencing grief, like in my own family, when we lost my sister-in-law, a lot of the members of our family moved to physical activity. They would do weightlifting. Mm-hmm. And that's when they would move through mm-hmm. a lot of their grief. Mm-hmm. And I think close some of those stress cycles mm-hmm. and like cry as they're moving through the movement. But I think that was really a way for those emotions to be moving through their body so they weren't just holding them.
If you are a newer listener to this podcast, if you go back clear to season one, back when it was just me and Paige was there like a couple times, there's an interview with Paige's mother-in-law that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about her journey and losing her daughter.
Yeah. And how she moved through that.
Yeah. And now she encourages other people. Like mm-hmm. she's a group support specialist. And so are a couple of my in-laws, like siblings of the really? Girl that passed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I think that's a really powerful way. And one of my really close friends experienced a stillbirth around the same time. It was 4 months or 5 months after we lost my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. And so I was carrying at the same time as this friend. So there was like a lot of really complex grief involved in it. And I had this one album from Breaking Benjamin that I would listen to while I weight trained. And I could feel myself moving through the grief. But now I can't listen to that album unless I want to be sad.
I never would have guessed in a million years that Paige is listening to Breaking Benjamin in the gym. I don't know why I find that. Ever since you told me that you're not a music person, I think my brain has just assumed that you never listen to music.
Don't ever.
And I know that is not the truth. So I'm pretty sure like Breaking Benjamin is not what I expected. I don't know.
Well, now I can't listen to that album at all. Maybe this without is why thinking
you
about
don't
my,
like music.
My friend and her. Well, and it's funny too because I was thinking about that and I do like music, but I like music in the way of creating it or playing it, not just listening it. To yeah. it. Because I do like, I play the piano and the bass guitar and the drums. And like one of my favorite things to do is to play an emotionally charged classical piano piece, which is like, I'm hardcore.
She's moving from Breaking Benjamin to an emotionally charged classical piano piece. You are a mixed bag.
Okay, so now I want to walk through kind of how we can support our kids and understanding and closing their stress cycle. Like, it's not going to be the same thing. I think the beauty of children is that they come into this world with some of these evolutionary pieces already ingrained in them that we don't have to condition out of them.
Yeah.
So like this idea of closing the stress cycle is something that our children already do if we allow and support the process mm-hmm. and acknowledge what that is. So I was really, really, and I'm going to ask you this, Lindsay, I'm going to give you a minute to think about it and also listen to me talk, but I really want to know how you know what your children need as far as closing their stress cycle and how you provide it to them. And so when I'm thinking about it, something comes to mind that happened this morning, and this is some scenarios that happen to varying degrees. Like, my daughter really wants to play with this one friend really badly, and we haven't been able to connect with their parents. And I'm like pretty old school where I'm like, I need to meet the parents and have a conversation with them and like know them so they know I'm a safe person before I invite their child over or I let my kid go to their house. It's just a thing. And so I heard Alayla in what I call like a feedback loop where she was like, I just really want to play with her. And I know where she lives and I know it's safe. I've met her parents, right? And she's telling me, like, basically she's telling me how important this is to her, even though as me an adult, it's like not that important. I mean, her feelings are, but I'm like,
you'll have other days with other friends.
Like, I'm trying, to take a shower or brush my teeth, or like every time I turn around, she's standing there. She's like, Dad said I can't go. And so like, I explained to her one time already that I needed to know these parents, and she's, again, that feedback loop, but I know they're safe and I know how to get there and I can ride my bike and I can just ask them to play. And I'm like, okay, so what I did was, instead of trying to like say anything else because I had already explained it, I did the 20-second hug. I just hugged her. I didn't say anything. I just hugged her, and she didn't like refuse my hug, or else I would have like taken a different approach. But she hugged me back, and we both just held our own body weight while we hugged, and she said whatever she needed to say, and she started crying. Like, she wasn't crying yet. She was just very emotionally charged, and then she started crying, and then I just kept hugging her, and I just waited until she had pretty much finished crying. And she was still kind of talking about it, but not really, like, as much. And then I said to her again, like, this is where I'm at and this is what I need. And I see that this is important to you and you feel disappointed that you can't do it today. Because this is important to you, this is something we can work on this week. And then she was like, okay. And just, like, I could see that her body, like, settled and she let go of me from the hug. And then I was like, let's go. And she was still kind of talking about it. I was like, let's go make breakfast together. So for me, in that moment, like, that was an example of me recognizing that she's in this stress cycle because this is something that's important to her. And that was how I was trying to support her in closing her stress cycle because I could tell that she was like emotionally overwhelmed.
I love it.
Thanks.
How did you know she needed a hug?
I didn't. I just guessed. But if she didn't want it, she would have told me.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of parents, they want like the thing. They want us to say, you do this one thing to help your child regulate. And it's a lot of experimenting, and different situations are going to call for different types of regulation. So to answer your question, the reason I know what my kids need is because I know my kids and I've been like doing this long enough that I know generally what works for them, but every situation is a little bit of, I'm just winging it, guys. Like, I'm like intuitively like, what does it feel like they're trying to do, they need in this situation? So if there's like a lot of movement and anger, specifically with Sam's not physical, not a hugger, that's why I'm using this example first. And so he'll like, oh, I love him so much, he'll like, if there's a stool, we call it, have you ever seen the movie Tammy?
Oh my god,
it's my favorite movie. Okay, you know how when she like, she's returning the jet ski and the guy pisses her off, she like just knocks stuff off his thing?
Yeah,
this is what Sam does. Okay, he'll just like knock stuff down. Like, he doesn't ever break anything.
He's like a
cat. He doesn't ever like throw anything like in a mean way, but he'll just like, so he'll take our kitchen stools and he'll just like tip them over. He won't knock them down, but he'll just like tip it over like angrily. And then, so it's like, I let him do that. I don't correct that. I'm like, you do you. And then he was like throwing a sweatshirt on the ground the other day. And I was like, that's fine. You can throw it on the ground. Do you want to get a pillow to throw on the ground? And so like helping pick up on what's already working or what he's moving towards in that moment. And sometimes if it's dangerous or there's like a safety thing, redirecting to, you know, so the screaming, he screams a lot. We have him scream into a pillow. We whisper scream. We dance, all of those things. So kind of just knowing what works for him and knowing his patterns and his specific things that set him off, but also just playing around. I don't know.
Yeah, trial and error.
And then with my girls, it's a little different just because their personalities are a little different. So I have one that needs like, both my girls need that like physical contact. So if I can get them to even sit with me for a minute and I'm holding them, they start to relax and then I can kind of go from there. Like, do they need physical activity? Do they need quiet time?
What is it? But it's trial and error. Mm-hmm. So like, even though we have the background in education, we're doing the same thing. We're winging it because these humans existed before us. Mm-hmm. Like, or I mean, you know, before we were educated or we were trying, like we had to get to know them. We have to get to know them and at the different stages.
And it's going to change, right? So like one day, maybe Sam needs to knock some stools over and the next day he needs to go in his room and like full on sensory cocoon and have me lay by him and not speak a dang word. Because a lot of that is what, like, I just sit near him on the couch and that's how he gets like that affection. We're not like cuddling because he's not a touchy person. And I don't talk.
Yeah, don't talk. Right.
Do not talk. Yeah. And so there's a lot of times I would try to like talk him through it and it would just activate or keep him in the feedback loop. Like it would just keep, some kids come to an end there and mine does not.
Yeah, mine doesn't. Well, certain times they don't either.
It will just be this. And so I've noticed like if I'm trying to talk it through and if we're just like the same question or the same response over and over, then I just sit next to you and I don't talk.
Yep. And that's what I hugged her and I just didn't talk, but my kids are touchy. And at the same time, though, let me tell you, Rory is on the ground. She's my five, almost 6 year old, on the ground on all fours with one of my decorative throw pillows from Pottery Barn from bed.
You spent some money on that.
In her mouth on the corner, whipping it around because she's angry. And I can't remember why she was mad. Like everything was making her mad. Mm-hmm. But Alayla had my attention and I was helping her regulate. And then she's on the ground in front of me because she's also clearly dysregulated, like in the stress cycle. Mm-hmm. And so Alayla was like, do you want her doing that? And I was like, no. It's like, however, I said, she's upset right now. And oftentimes asking her to stop or trying to make her stop and telling her I don't like that isn't going to help. Mm-hmm. So I let her finish and then we'll have a conversation later. Mm-hmm. So like both of these levels of like needing to be present and aware of what each kid needed was happening in that moment. And
like Rory just needed you to let her do her cat thing.
Yeah, she does the cat thing and it's random stuff, but that was the thing. And I was like, so I'm just going to let that one go. And then 2 seconds later she was fine and like left the pillow and then was like, I'm going to take a bath. And then I was telling Lindsay I keep an emergency stash of bath bombs.
So do I.
I'm like, let's take a bath with a bath bomb, right? Like get her regulated with some warm water. And I put
music in the bath sometimes too. I'm like, do you want to have a fancy bath? I think we call it.
But so I was like, it was interesting to have both happening at the same time and recognize from at least this perspective of like stress cycle happening for each kid. And one of the things I wrote down that I thought would be, I'm doing little keyboard motions like I'm typing. So I typed this down. Lindsay gave me a weird look, so I had to tell her what I was doing.
No, I got it. I just...
And I was like, when we're dealing with our children, a really helpful introspective question is right now, do I need to deal with the stress or the stressor? Mm-hmm. And in both those moments with both of my children, we needed to deal with the stress. Mm-hmm. Not the stressor. Mm-hmm. Because I think Rory was just mad. She wanted breakfast, but like no breakfast suggestions were okay. And then I didn't have any options for her. And she was like mad about it. I was like, we're going to be mad. Dad's making eggs. We're going to be mad. And then immediately after this, guys, I was like, everybody go eat some protein. Like, let's go eat a balanced meal.
Well, and just that's something I always forget. We all forget with our kids. Like, are you hungry? It's like, are you hungry? Do you need to eat something?
Yeah.
Like what? Because for me, that's so much of like, we talked about a lot in these three episodes about being in tune with our body. Am I hungry? Do I need to take a drink of water? Like what are my physical needs in this moment? And sometimes you need to address those first.
Yeah. Well, and I couldn't, right? I couldn't in the moment because they were just stuck in where they were at. So I had to address the stress. And then the stressor was hung like food, like go eat a balanced meal, right? So we did the stress and then the stressor. And then I wrote down a couple things that I thought would be like helpful suggestions.
Okay.
So like validating their experience. I told Delilah, I'm like, you sound really disappointed and this is really important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Validate. Rory, it's like, you're really hungry and you're angry that it's not ready for you already. I'm like, you're really angry and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Rory that. I was like, you really want breakfast right now, but I can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad.
And I can't. And something I say is like, I am, if we don't have a certain food item, we have a lot of food meltdowns in our house. There's a meltdown and it's Dino chicken nuggets. We're out of Dino chicken nuggets. That is not something that I can correct right now. So you can be mad about that all you want.
Yeah.
Like that is okay. And when you're hungry and when you decide you're ready to eat something else that we currently have in this house, I'm happy to get that for you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to lovingly set boundaries but still be a responsive parent, which we will continue to talk about.
Yeah, because it's like, you can be mad that I don't Dino Nuggets. It doesn't mean I'm running to the store to buy you Dino Nuggets. It just means that, like, and I'm happy to make your food, but, like, I'm not going to keep trying to, like, offer the same things over and over while you're here screaming at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Another one was connect or create a sense of belonging. So like find a way to connect for you that's sitting next to Sam and not talking, right? Or for me, that was like hugging Alayla. Like there are ways to connect and create a sense of belonging. Dance or movement. It's like how many times have we had a dance party?
I love a dance party.
We love a dance party. Or like I've gone for a walk. My father-in-law loves to talk about how he used to make my husband run laps around their ranch. And he's like, then they would come inside and be fine. And I was like, well, I could see why. Mm-hmm. That's Daddy Tom. That's what he does. And then I even mentioned like a stress closing diet, not talking about food. But again, regularly incorporating ways to close our stress cycle throughout our day in those little windows.
And for our kids. So we've recently started a new, we call it rotations system in our evening time. And it's got a few, like, the sections are, like, pets, home stuff, and then, like, self-care. And depending on how much time we have that night, we, like, rotate through. So there's, like, three different stations, and it's, like, do something for the pets. So we figure out who's going to, like, feed the pets, who's going to get them water, who's going to scoop the litter.
Nice.
All of that. But one of the sections, the self-care section, there's movement. There's, like, free time, which can include screens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is, like, reading or music on there. And so I don't want to limit it, but they spend that time doing one of those things. And the movement one is absolutely necessary because I find if I can structure that into their day on the days where they don't have activities, at least they're getting 5 to 10 minutes, sometimes even 20. So like on the weekends, we extend the time, which is why I like the rotation because I can look at our evening window. And if it's like a Tuesday night, we have no time. So I'm like, okay, we're doing 5 minutes at each station. But if it's a Saturday or Sunday night, we'll do up to 20 minutes. And so there's 20 minutes of dancing, moving, regulating, happening. And Tim and I do it with them. So there'll be times where it's like you're in your movement station. You don't know what you want to do. Do you want to do yoga with me? So we'll do yoga together. Or we'll, you know, we have a gymnastics bar. Or for Sam's movement, it's like dancing and singing his favorite songs. And so creating routines like this where your child is getting that diet of stress cycle.
Things that close the stress cycle. Yeah. Absolutely. And that makes complete sense. I really like the way that you incorporated in that rotation style.
And I think it just helps create the structure too, because part of like when we're talking about parenting is we want to teach our kids to naturally do these things on our own. We don't want to condition it out of them, but we also want to teach them how to take care of themselves and how to survive in this modern world. So yes, they're naturally drawn to things that help them regulate, but also we need to teach them that, you know, they need to have physical movement every day. And that doesn't always have to look like going to a gym or a workout class.
Yeah.
So I've been going to a workout class for 4 weeks. I'm obsessed with it. And my kids now are like talking about it. Like, why do you go to the workout class? Like, what? Why don't you work out at home anymore? And so I've talked to them about some of the aspects of that that are good for mom. And good for mom's health.
Yeah.
And so, and then like doing yoga together, we talk about how we feel afterward. So they're making those connections that these activities are positive for me and they make me feel good. So hopefully as they grow up and become more independent, they will continue.
Yeah.
These things.
I agree. I think, and there's, it's such a powerful concept of modeling. Right? Mm-hmm. Like we're modeling mm-hmm. to them, and that's how they'll develop a lot of their inner voice, their inner critic, their internalized habits.
And we're body doubling. So like that's yes. the other component of the whole thing. Like when we rotate through with like chores and all of that is like, so someone's on laundry, someone's on dishes, and someone's on picking up. And Tim and I float around to kind of whoever's on what and needs help. And that gives them that body doubling. We're all doing chores at the same time.
Yeah, we do that too.
And we rotate and we take turns picking. And then like someone's playing and training the dog. Someone's playing and training with the cat. And then we like do a timer so everyone gets every animal. And it keeps that novelty in there for mm-hmm. them with like the focus and, you know, distraction and the demands of it for Sam. And so it's been really good. It's been really fun. Because I've been trying for a long freaking time to find like our evening routine that yeah. because our schedule changes so much that I'm able to implement consistently. And finally I realized like, oh, I just have to adjust the time we spend.
Yeah. But it's a lot of trial and error. And those are those neuro spicy twists.
Mm-hmm. And it's taking the things that are specific to each of my neuro spicy kids. So like I know that Sam needs novelty. He needs things to change. He needs us to all be doing it together and he needs it to switch often. And to incorporate like fun and excitement into it. And then I know that my girls need body doubling and they need also support in doing or finding activities to do, which means if they can't find something physical or they, you know, they want me to do it with them because they really thrive on that connection time. Yeah. It also helps me because then I am not binging Netflix, hollering at my children to go do their chore.
Which definitely enters the stress cycle.
Or my other opposite human giver syndrome is I would just do all of it. And then I would be like, this isn't fair.
Also in the stress
cycle. And I'm not teaching my kids anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good for all of us.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love that. I also struggle with finding consistency within routines, but it's the neuro spicy twist.
Yeah.
It's the quirky. That's yeah. what I say. It's the quirky. So we're going to end this podcast episode with signs that you need to deal with the stress before the stressor. So oftentimes we get kind of like stuck in the messy middle mm-hmm. of trying to take care of the thing that's causing us stress and not the stress itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anyone has clocked into this, but if you experience panic attacks, I would suggest practicing closing your stress cycle and closing it regularly
mm-hmm.
because again, like that built up emotion stuck within that tunnel, the tunnel mm-hmm. being your body, is going to present in physical symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with that a lot on a daily basis. Okay, so sign one, you might notice yourself checking things, picking at things, thinking obsessive thoughts, or fiddling with your own body in a routine kind of way. So these are signs that the stress has overwhelmed your abilities, your brain's ability to cope with the stressor.
So for me, this is, I have, if there's something I'm stressed about, specifically financially, because finance, I need to do some like money mindset work, but, and life, it's just life. It's parenting. It's like, am I doing the right thing with my money? Whatever. But if I'm having the same thought over and over, like questioning the same thing, that's when I know like, oh, I'm in the stress cycle. Cause there's no need to think about this over and over yes. and over again.
Yeah. And well, with Alayla, right? She kept saying the same thing mm-hmm. over and over again in different ways. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like we are in a feedback loop
mm-hmm.
or I am taking this summer off. So I needed to give notice to my clients and I kept talking about it with you mm-hmm. and I kept talking about it with Zane and it was stressing me out. So I finally just sent out the notices and
just do the damn thing.
I yeah. did the damn thing. And so that was an example of the stressor, but I noticed the stress in my body and was like, okay, how can I stop this loop?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that, but I like made the connection that that's what I was doing. But I have had like, if I have to make like a phone call or an email, or I will think about it. And sometimes it's, I just need to just do it.
Yeah.
I think that's an ADHD overcompensation too, because we forget things.
And the perfectionistic mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't like to answer the phone, but then I have to call people back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about negative feedback loop. Okay, so the second term is chandeliering, which I love this term. It was coined by Brené Brown, but essentially it's the idea that you have this overwhelming, sudden burst, so intense that you can't contain it. So like your reaction or response may not match what's happening around you at that moment, mm-hmm. but it matches the intensity of what's inside of you.
So this is when, this road rage is like a thing.
Yeah.
This is when people are typically in their stress cycles. The end of the day, they get in the car driving home from work and they experience huge road rage over someone cutting them off or not using their signal or being a bad driver or whatever it is. And it's because they're so tense and ready to go. They're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Another example, again, I'm going to bring up panic attacks,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, it may be over something smaller, like you're going to be late to a meeting mm-hmm. and now you're having a full blown like physical reaction and panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then later you're like, well, why would I have a panic attack if I'm just going to be 5 minutes late? Well, it's not just that one incident. It's all of these things built up onto each other
mm-hmm.
and it has to go somewhere. So eventually it just erupts.
Mm-hmm.
Another example would be like asking, well, what do you need? What do you think you need? Or how can I help? And they're like, why do you keep asking me that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, like that kind of huge emotional response
mm-hmm.
to that question,
mm-hmm.
chandeliering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we need to deal with the stress.
Mm-hmm.
3, if you're hiding from your life, you're past your threshold.
Yep.
I'm like, doom scrolling comes to mind. Binging. You're not dealing with the stress or the stressor. Once you deal with the stress, you can be well enough to deal with the stressor.
Yeah.
But you're basically just like dodging.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I think of most is doom scrolling.
And this one is a tricky balance for me because I'm naturally a hermit. It's even like in my human design. And so playing around with finding ways to do that that aren't isolating or aren't hiding from my life.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like you're allowed. I often talk about the intention. What is the intention that we're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing this for restorative or are we doing this for avoidance?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your intention moving in.
Yes.
Okay. And then your body feels out of whack. Maybe you're sick all the time. You have chronic pain, injuries that just won't heal, infections that keep coming back. And I love that this is included in the book because I think that if you're not familiar with this concept, this feels very woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
But this is research-backed. Stress is not just stress. It is a biological event that happens inside of your body that causes biological problems that really happen into your body that cannot always be explained with a diagnosis.
Yes. Facts.
Straight facts.
Straight facts. It is like stress will kill you. That's why they say that. Like, that's why people get stressed and they have heart attacks and they have all of these health problems.
Yeah, and conditions and autoimmune diseases can be triggered. Hive diseases. Like, you, we just talked about your hive
histamine story. Condition, yeah.
Yeah. So like these are just examples, but it is inevitable that it will happen within the body if we're not finding a way to let these emotions run through the tunnel. With that, we actually have a specific workshop called Calm Mom Happy Kids that talks a lot about emotional regulation. It doesn't use the term stress cycle, but that is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it walks you through a lot of different strategies that you can use to start closing your stress cycle and then how that's relevant for your children also and some techniques that you can use with your children. And so please be sure to check that out if this is something that you feel like you need a little more direction in.
Yes. Go grab it now in our resource library.
Thanks for coming to Mindful as a Mother podcast. If you'd like more of us and Mindful as a Mother, you can find Paige at Instagram at Parenting with Paige and Lindsay at Linz_AdamsLCSW. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, and in our Facebook group, Creating Community and Smashing Parental Stigma. Embracing Mindful Motherhood and Positive Parenting. Thanks so much, and see you next time.